Good morning again. I forgot what day it is, but Mort Ward in here today. So I'm guessing it's Independence Day weekend, so woohoo! And I forgot to put the flag out, so uh-oh. But it's raining, so I wouldn't have anyway, right? All right, so I'm doing all right today. We'll start out. I think we need. I'd like to start out. One of our practitioners, Teresa Slusher. Most of you know that her mother made her transition this week. Her name was Kathleen Barbara. And I would just like for us to take a moment, and today is about knowing the truth. And so let's know the truth for Teresa and her family, Robert and Chris, and each of us know in our own way with the eyes of the divine the truth. The truth about her mother. The truth about grieving. And the truth about that perfect peace. An infinite understanding that is this at the center of each being, and it's at the center of each person in this family. And so it is. So we start a new month this month, this Sunday, and we're going to do loving kindness and forgiveness this month. How's that sound? All right. You know, all of these things that we do, all of this work that we do towards our vision of a world that works for everyone, it all takes some energy. Even that changing a thought takes some energy. And what we know is all this energy, all the stuff of the universe that comes from the formless and takes form and then leaves that form and moves into a new form, all of that stuff is the same stuff. It's the same energy. It's just used to fill different forms, depending on our consciousness, depending on our desires, depending on our wants, depending on our intentions, depending on how much creativity we are willing to use. And what we know about kindness and loving kindness is that kindness takes just as much energy as meanness. You know? Or maybe even a little less. And what do we get for it? Well, meanness sometimes makes us feel pretty good. But loving kindness makes us feel pretty good too. And what do we know about what it is that we put out there? Ooh, it comes back. And so we got that whole golden rule thing going on about doing unto others. And none of us want people to be mean to us. We don't want our family to be mean to us and our neighbors to be mean to us and people we don't even know being mean to us. That's always irritating. How can they even know that I deserve to be mean to? And when we put that meanness out there, what we get back is meanness. And when we put out the loving kindness, what we get back is loving kindness. And that's how we get to this place, this world that works for everyone. Because in a world that works for everyone, everyone is going around being loving kind and getting loving kindness back. And it just expands. Until the whole world is nothing but living in loving kindness. And when that happens, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. So loving kindness and forgiveness. This first couple of weeks, we're going to deal with forgiveness. Now, I know a lot of people here have done a lot of forgiveness work. Is that true? All right. Everybody learn how to forgive. And forget, and then you forget that you forgot, and you have to do it over. That's the way it works. Because what we know about this forgiveness thing is, most of us are all grown up. And what we know about forgiveness work is that most of what we have to forgive has roots way back when we were children, when we were not very smart, not very conscious, not very much our own person with our own thoughts, and we took everybody else's thoughts and we took them to heart and we believed them as if they were true. Because why would all these people that know more than us, who are caring for us, who actually love us, why would they ever tell us anything that wasn't true? Well, there's really no good reason except that there's more mature people that are raising children and working on relationships and working at jobs and moving in careers, they sometimes get tired. They sometimes get impatient. They sometimes will say anything if they only have to say it once. Sometimes they say things in anger. Anybody ever say anything in anger that you didn't mean? That you wish you could take back. If I get real, real angry and I say something to Gloria that's mean, I can realize what I did. And I can go to Gloria and say, Gloria, I didn't mean that. And she'll say, I know. But if Gloria is 2 or 3 years old, she hears it and she believes it's the truth. And I don't get to take it back. And so she grows up with this idea, whatever it was that I said. Maybe I said, you know, maybe I wasn't even talking to her. I didn't even know she heard it. I was talking to my spouse about how if we didn't have so many kids, you know, things would be all right. If I tell her she's been a bad girl, if I tell her she's going to go to hell, anybody ever told you were going to go to hell? It's been recommended. I'm already there, you know. So when we do our forgiveness work, what we're doing is, and this is why we forgive and forget, and then we forget that we forgot. Because there's another layer. Because if I say something mean to Gloria and she forgives me, The only reason she's forgiving me is because she thinks that I did something to her, that I hurt her in some way. And what do we know about that? We know that that's not true, right? We know that there is nothing and no one in this universe that's against us. We know that we can't be hurt. We know that we are immortal, that we can't actually die, that life goes on forever. We know that we are one with God, that we have access to limitless intelligence and wisdom. If I know everything there is to know, and I know the truth about me as being unconditional love made into flesh, then I'm guessing there's not much you can say that can hurt me. This is the whole idea about God and sin. Did you hear Gloria reading that God knows nothing of your sin? Well, I thought God knows everything. No, there's the paradox. If God is everywhere present, and God knows everything there is to know because God is infinite intelligence, then how is it that he doesn't know what I did last night? You know? How is it that he doesn't know my mistakes? How is it that he doesn't know I'm sick? Or that I am living in lack. Or I have no friends. I'm unemployed. Life is pretty miserable. I'm suffering here. How can God not know that? And what Ernest Holmes says is that we should be grateful that God doesn't know that. Right? For a couple of reasons. One, if God knew how much I was suffering and didn't do anything about it, what kind of a God would that be? It would be that God that seems willy-nilly on who gets well and who doesn't get well. Who gets rich and who stays poor. Whose relationships break up and whose are saved. And what we know about God is that God is impersonal. So there's none of this willy-nilly stuff. It doesn't matter how good or bad I am, because God is always looking at me through the eyes of God. And God only sees its own nature. And what do we think? Or what do we know about the nature of God? God is love. Is God anything else? Intelligence and love, that pretty much covers it, gives you a good starting point. And out of that intelligent love, we believe that God decided that there would be peace. That's in alignment with unconditional love and being so super smart. And if we were so super smart, we would believe in the same things. And what we are coming to find out is that we are that smart. You know, even a person with half a mind, if mind is infinite, what's half of infinite? It's enough. You know, even if we had half a brain, we only use what, 10%? So even if we only had half, we still got five times more than we need. Or than we use. Maybe we do need a little. Maybe we need to use a little more. We're working on that. So what we mean when we say that God can only know itself is that God is always seen through the eyes of God. And God can only know its own nature because out of that, its own nature is what it created, this entire universe. Everything in this universe is an expression of God in form. So it's an expression of perfection in form. And everything seems to get along pretty well, expressing its own perfection, until it gets self-conscious like us. Until it gets to that point where we are self-conscious living here on a physical planet, coming from that place of unconditional love and no limitations. And we come here and there's a few limitations. Sometimes it's dark. There's only so many hours in a day. There's 8 billion people you got to get along with. Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. There's somebody that's irritating. Somebody didn't get the instructions. And so we begin to see ourselves as separate, separate from each other and separate from God, separate from that which created us, separate from that which is living as us. And so we see a lot of things that reinforce that separateness. We see conflict and we take it to new extremes. We see that people do things that are wrong to us, and so we go after them. But what we envision is a world in which forgiveness is the norm. The norm, it's the automatic response to anything that seems to be wrong. Somebody borrows $100 from me and doesn't pay me back, I might think that that is wrong. I might take that person to small claims court. Or I might forgive him or her. It's hard to forgive somebody that does you wrong, though, right? There's nothing wrong with going to small claims court. I mean, that's my right. We believe in taking responsibility for our actions. If I don't pay somebody back, they should take me to court. And I should, I don't know what. I guess they could take the $100 from me, but if I had the $100, I would have paid it. You know? I guess they can put me in jail. Take me away. That'll show them. Show me. Make that person feel better that they've been publicly vindicated. Or we could just forgive each other. But you can't forgive somebody and take them to court. It's like, believing in forgiveness and then taking someone to court is like believing in peace and then planning for the next war. You can't do both simultaneously. It just can't be done. What we know about the world that we want to live in is it comes from who we are, what we believe we are. Our beliefs are the foundation for all of our actions. And so if we believe less about ourselves, then we will act less than we are capable of. And that's why we do things like come to celebration, and that's why we go to our teams and we do our book studies and we do our daily devotionals and we have our spiritual practices. Because as Gloria was reading, we have to take it deeper. Ernest Holmes says, well, he didn't say this. I'll say this. How many people know the truth? Okay. We've been talking about the truth for the last 13 years. He says, if you know, you're right, Bernie, a little bit of truth, just a truth, never be afraid to say, I know the truth. Because it starts with what you know that is true, and then we build on our understanding of it. That's the only thing that's missing, is deepening it. Because we take that one truth, because I know everybody here believes that we are not separate from God. There's only one life. That life is God's life, and that life is my life now. We say it over and over again. We say it with enthusiasm. We actually believe it at some level in that half mind of ours. And so if that's the truth we believe, we should never be afraid to say it. Because from that, from that simple knowing that we are one with God, everything else will fall into place. It's that seeking first the kingdom of heaven. Seeking first that place that I am closest to what I know God is. Where I haven't forgotten anything. Where I've never been hurt. Where I still remain perfect, whole, and complete. Just as I was born. Just as God is right here and right now. And so we do know the truth. And we should never be afraid to say it. And we should never be afraid to say, I don't understand it all yet. I'm still working on making that a reality in my life every second of every day. No shame in that. I mean, we only had two people that knew the truth in here, so I'm guessing we don't have too many people that are perfect either. But we are perfect. We just do not have that perfect understanding. And so that's what we're going to be working on. Now, we all like to have something practical to take with us. And when we're talking about forgiveness, when we're talking about all of these things that we have to keep forgiving over and over again because we get triggered and we don't even know what those triggers are for. And we trace them back and we forgive this person and then we forgive the next person and the person before that. And we go back in time to that point where we don't even remember and there's still something there that we heard that we need to forgive. And so we say thank you to the triggers. Because every time that we do that forgiveness work, every single time, we deepen our understanding of the truth that we know. And so it's a blessing. And we begin to see things through the eyes of the God within. And the God within sees things just like the God without. Just like the highest most God. Just like that God that doesn't see sin and doesn't see sickness and doesn't see lack and never sees suffering. You can see with those eyes. And when we do, we see all and only the good. When we see all and only the good, we elevate the consciousness of the entire planet. If that's all we see, then that's all we act out of. And if that's all we act out of, then that's what is reflected back on us. You and me and the other 8 billion people all reflecting that it's only good. So let's take a minute and just take that into our time of contemplation. never more clear about this vision that we speak of, this vision that we're teaching about, this vision that we're learning, this vision that behind it we put our passion, we put our faith, knowing that whatever the mind can imagine, can and will be manifest. And so as we get a picture in our own minds of what that world that works for everyone looks like, the things that we know today that God doesn't see. Do we see any of those things in our vision? Are there things in this world that we live in now that don't quite work? Have they vanished? This world that works for everyone, where people still make errors, mistakes, do we see the mistakes and we see that immediate response, that normal response, that response that is automatic, that is forgiveness? And that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is an act of love. There's nothing too big or too small. Nothing too big or too small to forgive. All acts of forgiveness are maximized. And each time that I forget, each time I come full circle and have the opportunity to forgive again, say yes. And I build that personal practice of forgiveness that is an act of love over and over and over again until I see with the eyes of God and see that there is nothing to forgive. To see a world that works for us.